Welcome to the October IASB podcast, where we bring you the latest insights from our board meetings. I'm Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director with the IASB, and I am joined by Linda Mizon-Hutter, Vice Chair of the IASB, who will provide her expert insights on our projects. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Neely.
As you have just survived the October 2023 board meeting, two pretty intense days where we discussed eight projects that are critical to financial reporting, I thought in this project we could focus on three main projects where the IASB has kind of drilled down into some of the technical detail. The first is the project on IFRS 9 and some potential amendments to classification and measurement requirements. The second is the equity method of accounting, and the third is the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so why don't we start with IFRS 9? And maybe before we get into what the IASB discussed, can you provide a little bit of background about where this project came from?
Sure, happy to do that. We carry out what we call a post-implementation review of our major standards a few years after they've come into effect. So why do we do that, you might ask? Well, it's our way of learning if these standards are working for you as we intended. The board is splitting the post-implementation review of IFRS 9 into three parts. And in the first part, we looked at classification and measurement requirements in IFRS 9. Now, in light of the feedback that you provided us to this post-implementation review, the board decided to make targeted amendments to improve the application of these requirements. We issued an exposure draft in March 2023. The exposure draft proposed amendments to the following requirements. First, assessing contractual cash flow characteristics of financial assets, including those with environmental, social, and governance, or what are typically called ESG-linked features, and their related disclosures. Next was settling financial liabilities using an electronic payment system. And finally, disclosures about investments in equity instruments designated at fair value through other comprehensive income. In this month's meeting, we discussed the feedback we received on the exposure draft about the first point I mentioned, contractual cash flow characteristics of financial assets. The reason this matters is these cash flow characteristics drive the classification and measurement of financial assets, such as financial assets with ESG-linked features, in deciding whether it's amortized cost or fair value through profit or loss. The feedback was generally supportive of the IASB's proposed application guidance, with some comments for improvements in the details. The review of your feedback is still ongoing, and we're committed to digesting your insights in our upcoming board meetings. The next big step would be to publish the final amendment in the first half of 2024. So stay tuned for further updates on this project.
Thanks, Linda. So let's now turn our attention to the second project we wanted to discuss today, and that is the project on the equity method of accounting. Linda, can I turn things back to you to remind our listeners about this project and what the board decided?
Sure. So companies account for associates and joint ventures using the equity method of accounting in their financial statements. The equity method project is aiming to answer questions on how the equity method is applied in particular circumstances. Some examples include questions about the accounting for transactions that IAS 28 does not currently address. So for example, let's take a purchase of an additional interest in an associate. Suppose you're an investor who already owns a 25% interest. Now, you buy an additional 15%, and there are no requirements in the standard on how you measure that additional 15% investment. So the IASB will propose new requirements in this area. Another example is how to account for gains and losses in transactions between the company and its associates and joint ventures. Some companies eliminate the portion of the gain or loss for their share in the associate and joint venture, whereas others recognize the full gain or loss. To fix this inconsistency, the IASB will propose that investors recognize the whole gain when they sell anything to an associate, whether they sell an asset like a property or a subsidiary. In our July meeting, the IASB wrapped up the discussion of the application questions related to investments in associates This month, we have decided the decisions made to date for associates can also be applied to other investments, such as those in joint ventures and subsidiaries, in the investor's separate financial statements. We are now working towards the publication of an exposure draft.
Thanks, Linda. And we expect that exposure draft to come out in the second half of 2024. So stay tuned for that. Let's move on to the third project we wanted to discuss today, and that is our project on the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard, which is the standard for entities without public accountability. So these are companies that do not list their shares in the stock market or those that don't sell shares to the public. This accounting standard simplifies IFRS accounting standards, or what we call full IFRS, while still requiring useful information for the users of those financial statements. Now, just to provide a little bit of background on this project, many of our listeners will probably be familiar that this is our second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. The standard was issued in 2009, and we did our first comprehensive review in 2015. For this second comprehensive review, we've conducted it in three stages. We first asked for views on how and whether the standard should be updated for changes that have been made to full IFRS. And then secondly, we published an exposure draft in September 2022 with proposed changes. Since then, we have been looking at the feedback to that exposure draft and are planning to issue our third edition of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard in late 2024. Now, with that background, Linda, can you outline the decisions that the board made this week, as well as some other developments in this project?
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that, Neely. The IASB discussed the recognition of development and borrowing costs by SMEs. The requirements in the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard for both these types of costs actually differ from those requirements in full IFRS accounting standards. Now, full IFRS accounting standards require entities to recognize development costs as assets if they meet specified recognition criteria. However, the same treatment is not permitted in the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard, meaning that all development costs incurred by SMEs are expensed. This treatment is required for SMEs because at the time of developing the standard, SMEs were not considered to have the resources to assess whether development costs meet the recognition criteria in IAS 38, and information about capitalized development costs was considered to be of little benefit to users making lending decisions. Similarly, in full IFRS accounting standards, borrowing costs directly attributable to the acquisition, construction, or production of a qualifying asset are required to be capitalized as part of the cost of the asset. However, in the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard, entities must expense borrowing costs as incurred. The IASB received some feedback to the exposure draft requesting that it introduce an accounting policy option to capitalize or expense development costs and borrowing costs. However, the IASB had concerns that the option would introduce additional complexity into the standard. IASB members also had reservations about the benefits of information about capitalized costs and borrowing costs to users of SME financial statements. Consequently, the IASB decided not to change the existing recognition requirements.
Thanks, Linda. So in addition to those decisions, the IASB also decided to publish a supplementary exposure draft, which will come out likely in the second quarter of 2024. Linda, can you tell us some more about that?
Yes, of course. This exposure draft will amend the scope of the second comprehensive review. It will propose amendments to the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard to align it with the amendments to full IFRS accounting standards we issued earlier this year on supplier finance arrangements and the lack of exchangeability in foreign exchange rates. The supplier finance arrangements amendments give investors a more transparent picture of how these arrangements affect a company's liabilities and cash flows. The guidance on lack of exchangeability helps companies when there is a foreign currency that lacks exchangeability. So keep an eye out for this consultation in the second quarter of 2024. It's an excellent opportunity to share your insights with us.
Thanks, Linda. So in this podcast, we've highlighted three projects from our recent board meeting. If you're interested in digging deeper into these topics or to learn more about the other projects that we discussed, please visit our website. So as we wrap up this month's podcast, I'd like to draw your attention to four projects currently in the balloting process. For those unfamiliar with this term, balloting is the drafting, reviewing, and approval process to make sure that standards and consultation documents are well written and that they accurately reflect decisions made by the board. Two of these four projects are set to become new accounting standards in the first half of 2024. They are the Primary Financial Statements Project, which will become IFRS 18, and the Subsidiaries Without Public Accountability Disclosures Project, which will become IFRS 19. Meanwhile, the other two projects will be issued as exposure drafts, and those projects are the Financial Instruments with Characteristics of Equity, with the exposure draft coming out in November, and the Business Combinations Disclosure, Goodwill, and Impairment Project, with the exposure draft coming out in the first half of 2024. So that's it for projects, but before we sign off, let's take a few moments to discuss some of the stakeholder engagement that we've conducted in the past month and some engagements coming up. Linda, can you share some of the meetings we've held with our stakeholders since our September podcast?
Sure. Since September, we've had meetings with our Consultative Group for Standard Setters, ASAF, and our Consultative Group for Investors, called CMAC. Towards the end of September, we also held our annual World Standard Setters Conference. At this conference, standard setters got an up-close look at the activities of both the IASB and the ISSB. We also ran detailed educational sessions on the two upcoming standards mentioned earlier, Primary Financial Statements and Subsidiaries Without Public Accountability Disclosures. We also repeated the deep dive into these standards at our recent Emerging Economies Group meeting in South Africa. This group brings together people who are interested in the practical implementation of IFRS accounting standards in emerging economies. Additionally, we had the ISB and FASB education session also in September. These sessions provide a platform for mutual learning, ensuring we maintain the progress achieved through our convergence projects over the past few years. Now, on our website, you will find recordings from all of these meetings and events. It's your go-to hub for staying informed on all the essential conversations on financial reporting.
Thanks, Linda. You've also had a busy few weeks meeting with stakeholders, and you have a few more coming up. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Andreas and I recently had the opportunity to visit Latin America alongside our fellow board member, Tadeo Sandon. During our trip, we connected with stakeholders from different countries in the region. We had a meaningful exchange of insights and perspectives. And in November, a group of my fellow board members and I are set to meet with our stakeholders in both Japan and South Korea. We'll be discussing some of the key issues they face and how we can work together to address them.
Thanks, Linda. Well, safe travels to Japan and Korea. And that's it for this month. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed hearing about the latest developments in financial reporting. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, share, and rate on your preferred app. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners like you. We hope you'll join us again next month for highlights from the November board meeting. Until then, take care and goodbye. Thank you.